rather than me kind of speculate, I'd rather ask the expert, our NFL insider from CBS Sports, Jason Lackenfora, good enough to join us this afternoon. And Jason, you know, there's a lot floating around out there. There's all kinds of back and forth. What can you tell us about this story today? What are the prime major pieces of news we need to know about this announcement today?
Well, I think to me, the major piece of information, I won't quite call it news, isn't in the NFL's, you know, 20-page statement here and the explanation of Goodell's ruling. It's just that this thing is just so far from over.
Yeah.
You know, and as much as we all want it to be over, and as much as many of us think it's kind of much ado about nothing, we're maybe in the fourth or fifth inning of a nine-inning game, you know, and maybe we're in the third, depending on how long it takes these things to play out in the courts. But, you know, generally the courts aren't worried about when the first preseason game is and when the first regular season game is and when the playoffs start. Like, they don't care, you know. So if there's a judge in a court in Minnesota who's willing to grant Brady an injunction that would allow him to continue to operate until the courts decide on, sort of the legalities of this, then he'll be playing football. And then the NFL would appeal that injunction, and then there'll be, if the judge ultimately rules in Brady's favor or that it should be lesser suspension, or the judge may throw it back to these parties and say, hey, this isn't good enough, but figure something else out, as we saw, you know, at times happen in the Bountygate situation. Does this end up as something that Paul Tagliabue, a former commissioner, ultimately makes a final call on, as we saw in the Saints Bounty case? You know, I would just say, unfortunately, for all of us, it's not over. It's probably not close to being over. It could be months, maybe closer to a year before we get a court ruling on it. And by then, you know, we could be in Super Bowl 51 season and this Super Bowl 50 season that the NFL would love to make all about the glory of the game and yeah. celebration of football. Well, I got news for you. The team that's holding the Lombardi this, and they're going to remain opposed to this, and it's going to be a talking point likely all season long, and we could have a playoffs where the Patriots are going Super Bowl 50 and they're going for a defense of their title, and they're doing it with this Deflategate stuff still sort of out there in the ether and not decided.
Two things for you, Jason, that come out of that. One, can you just kind of backtrack a little bit there? The NFLPA would like to move this hearing or the legal action out of New York to Minnesota. Is that correct?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they filed in Minnesota. They filed a lot of their cases in Minnesota in the past. It's a federal court situation, so they wouldn't have to file in New York. They could file in Massachusetts if they think that's sympathetic. But you know, they've had great success in the past with a judge in Minnesota, Judge Doty, and even and he doesn't always sort of roll with them. But he didn't on this latest case involving their collusion claims. But he has often in the past, and that's been sort of a liberal state, kind of a pro-union state, and they've had some success there. So I expect them to file in Minnesota. And, you know, again, this being a federal case, it doesn't have to be, you know, in New York because the league office is there. It doesn't have to be in Massachusetts because, you know, that's where Brady works. So, yeah, I expect them to file in Massachusetts. I expect them to seek an injunction that would allow Brady to play until a judge, you know, reviews this case and decides whether the NFL did have the wherewithal to do what they did and whether this is unfair labor practices.
Jason, the other part that, at least for me, came into, I guess, the grand scheme of things today, as you referred to it, the fourth inning, is the destroyed cell phone. What does that mean? What bearing does that have on this?
Well, clearly to the NFL, it meant everything. I mean, there's not any conclusive proof here. You know, it's sort of, as they would say, a preponderance of evidence or, you know, things that would compel you to believe that something untoward happened here. In the court of Roger Goodell, you don't have to, he doesn't have to prove it. He just has to, you know, display, as Ted Wells did, you know, the likeliness that something against the rules occurred here. Now, it's a little different in the court of law. Now, the NFL would say, well, wait a minute, our CBA supersedes any court of law. But again, it only takes one judge to have a different determination of the facts for us to get down a very different path. But it looks bad. The explanation doesn't look good at all. And in fact, you know, if you read the whole ruling, you know, Goodell states, hey, Well, we were able to get some of his old cell phones, so he can't say that he's always destroyed his cell phones. Yet we had, you know, we were able to track down one from a couple of years ago that wasn't destroyed. And so, look, I think, here's the real take. No one looks good here, though.
You're
I mean,
right.
I don't think Goodell looks good. I don't think Ted Wells looks good. I don't think Tom Brady looks good. I don't think the NFL looks good. I don't think the NFLPA looks particularly good. But everyone is very dug in on this. And we're talking about an iconic figure in the history of American sports. And given that the NFL is at least a semi-global game, I guess international sports, you know, I'm talking to you guys in Canada about it. I mean, This is one of the real, I mean, he's a, you know, you talk about the Mount Rushmore of the NFL, you can make the case that he should be on it with Jim Brown and with Joe Montana and with whoever else you think, Jerry Rice and whoever else. Like that's you know, let's not lose sight of just what a, you know, a rich, compelling figure he's been to the NFL narrative for, you know, going on 20 years now. And for him to be fighting them in court again, because remember, he was one of the named plaintiffs in the case that the NFL filed during the lockout as well. It's not a good look for anyone. I understand to some degree everyone's position here. But I do think when you're talking destroyed cell phone or not, when you're talking about the NFL's own game day manual says it's a $25,000 fine for, you know, not having balls inflated where they are. And the NFL can't tell you where any of these balls were originally, what their original, how they were originally inflated, which balls were at which levels, which gauge was used on which ball. You know, the science of the Wells report is obviously open to debate. I mean, there's so many loopholes here that there's absolutely positively no doubt that it's going to end up in court. And if you read the statement from Don Yee, Tom Brady's agent/lawyer, if you read the statement from the NFLPA, if you read the statement from the New England Patriots themselves, it's clear that this ain't over.
Jason Lackenfor, our NFL insider, joins us this afternoon on The Big Show. Pat?
Jason, if Tom Brady hands over his cell phone, doesn't have it destroyed, and if the NFL, you know, sees things and there was damning evidence, are we talking about a four-game suspension? Like, how much of this is, hey, the guy didn't cooperate with us,
yeah,
and how much of that is in this decision?
I think it has everything to do with it, because, again, they don't have conclusive evidence. So they're really pinning it on, this guy wasn't cooperative. He has something to hide. He's going out of his way to obscure things we want to get to, so we're going to throw the book at him. I mean, you read the 20 pages, and that's really what you come away with. The tone and everything is like Goodell saying, really, dude, you're this bright, you're this smart, you're this big a part of the NFL's lore, you know the rules, you've got this great legal team, yet you destroy your phone right around the time where you know we want to talk to you. And you think we're not, you know, you think you're going to get off easier? I mean, in Goodell's world, falling on your sword is eminently more noble than trying to hide the truth. And I don't know what the truth is in this thing. I'll be the first one to say I don't know. And I'm not positive the NFL knows. And I think there's probably a bunch of degrees of gray that maybe we find out about through a court of law and maybe we never do. But to Goodell, you know, I don't know. I won't say he lives in a black and white universe, but especially in cases like this, you know, if you're Mike Vick and you come down on wounded knee and you tell him everything he wants to hear and, you know, you sort of play to that, you know, let him play God a little bit, he tends to be merciful. And if he feels like you're trying to get one over on him, then he's going to make an example out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly when you're talking about Tom Brady facing the same amount of discipline that Greg Hardy is, and, you know, I don't know anyone of right mind who would think that anything Brady may or may not have known about balls deflating should in any way be equal to a guy who, according to, you know, police documents, beat up a woman and threw her on a bed that was covered with all, you know, different sorts of machine guns and automated weapons, you know, but yet here they are both at four games. So to me, my take on it is he's making an example out of them. He's saying, you're trying to play me for a fool, and I'm not going to go for the okie doke. And, you know, we'll see what comes out additionally in court, if anything, but clearly Brady's not going to back down. And, you know, as for a timetable and what's next, I mean, once we get in a court docket, they make, you know,
yeah.
Even the NFL, as powerful as it is and as powerful as it thinks it is, it doesn't get to control, you know, when a judge puts this on a docket and how much time is allowed for discovery and when people have to be in a courtroom, et cetera.
Does Brady want this to go to court? And I ask that question because, and look, I think everybody agrees that the explanation as to the destroyed cell phone is somewhat fishy. Like, knowing that all of a sudden you're under oath now, does Brady want this to go to court, knowing the implications that can come from that?
Well, they've had a lot of time to consider this. I mean, this happened. The game in question, we're over half a year, or basically a half a year removed from it, where, two or three months removed from Wells's report, and we're over a month removed from the original hearing on the appeal. So they know what the situation is. They've had a lot. He's got incredibly smart people around them. He's mm-hmm. got brilliant lawyers, and they're stance all along has been, we're not admitting to anything. We weren't part of some vast conspiracy here, and we're going to fight this to all lengths, and I don't anticipate that changing now. None of this is a revelation. I mean, I talked to some people in Brady's camp this morning, and they figured that nothing was going to change. It was going to be four games, and that they were going to find out by Thursday afternoon officially, you know, exactly what was going on here. And it turned out, I guess it came out a little bit sooner than Thursday. But so you know, they were getting the sense that this is where it's going, and they weren't pleased with it. And the NFL has already come out and said, we're going to appeal it. And, you know, it's going to court. Now, again, I would say you never know, too, throughout that process, there would be things that probably wouldn't put either party in the best light. And maybe at some point they still reach some sort of settlement, some sort of backdoor thing, you know, that ends up resolving this sooner than the court system would. I would say, you know, all things are probably, you know, at least on the table to some degree. But the next call is going to be his, and that will be filing documents in a federal court system, and then seeing, you know, where it goes.
Is there a deal to be made between now and this thing getting to court? Like, can this be rectified without the legal system?
Time frame.
No,
you know, I don't think in that time frame. But if we're going to court and we've got a court date picked out, whatever. Let's say it's going to court in February or March or whatever. Is there potential for them to work something out, you know, closer to then when we start getting toward more of a real deadline? I guess so, but there's no way. I mean, Goodell just put this thing out. He took 6 months to do it. So for him to then reverse course after it, it's not going to happen. They've been talking through back channels for weeks, and Brady's camp was saying, we're not admitting to anything. If you want to fine us, maybe we'll take a fine, but we're not taking a suspension. And Goodell saying, I'm going to suspend you because of this and that and the other, and they couldn't get anywhere close to a deal. So for them to reverse it between now and week one or whatever, or now and you know, Brady filing the actual court papers, I think we're too far gone in that regard.
With Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider, the last one, Jason, with all the things we know, that this involves, you know, a premier player, that this is an ongoing investigation, and it's been involved about, you know, the inflation of footballs. It's a really kind of a crazy thought. Is there long-term damage that can be done either to the legacy of Tom Brady or to the league itself? Does anybody concern themselves with that?
Well, I think that's exactly what Brady's fighting for. I mean, his you know, again, his contention will be in court that look, whatever was going on here, it wasn't some vast conspiracy. I wasn't telling these guys where the ball had to be. They have no proof I was telling them exactly what I wanted and what I didn't want it. I don't know everything that was going on in hallways, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I think it's about his brand. It's about his you know, issues like that. I mean, look, he's got all the money in the world. He's got all the fame in the world. They can't take his touchdowns away. They can't take his Lombardi trophy. Way. But, you know, it is about how people will view him. And for Goodell, everything he does is tied to his legacy. I mean, this has become a very tumultuous time for him the last 18 to 24 months, and there's been a lot of decisions he's been central to that the general public has looked at and said and scoffed at, whether it was the, you know, Ray Rice related or Adrian Peterson related or what have you. So, I think that when I say both sides are dug in, it's because of that, you know, and Goodell saying, no, there's certain things that I believe just strike at the integrity of the game, and this is one of them. And it's Brady saying, well, what do you have? You've got, you know, you've got some quasi-interpreted text messages, and you wanted my phone. Well, here's everybody I talked to. I gave you, you know, access to records on my phone. I gave you, you know, it's not like I gave you nothing. And he would say, your science is flawed. You hired a guy to do a report and gave him millions of dollars who you knew was going to tell you what you may have wanted to hear. So, and thus here we sit.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Fortunately, we actually have real football to talk about when it comes to the NFL as camps open up here on Thursday. Jason, appreciate you jumping on short notice like this today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.